So we're looking at these two verses, the key verse from the Seder of the week is Vayuchai Yisachar, the life, it's the opening verse of the Seder. The life of Sarah was Mea Shana, 100 years, Ve'esrim Shana, and 20 years, Ve'sheva Shanim, and 7 years, that's 127. Shnei Chayei Sarah, that's the years of the life of Sarah. So that's one verse. And the other verse is from Kohelet. V'yitchon eretz bakol hi. It's very hard to translate. The advantage of the land is in everything. Melech lasadeh ne'evad. The king is subject to the field. Now, the discourse is going to put together these two verses in a fascinatingly subtle way. And we're going to try and understand this together. So I've tried to make this diagram to help us. And if you've got a way to have the diagram next to you, because with the Zoom, I can either have the diagram on the screen or have the Hebrew text on the screen. So I'm going to be putting... So if you've got a way of printing out, I also sent it as an email just now. So if you've got a way of printing out the diagram, it'll be easier. So I'm going to stop sharing there. Hi, Rivka, nice seeing you. And
nice seeing you, thank you.
Yeah, and hello, Emily.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, thank God, yes, wonderful. So now let me try and find this discourse so that we are able to, now where is it? Right. Right, so this was a discourse said in 5730, which was 1969. And the discourse is just opening, and I will now try to share it. Okay, now do you see the discourse?
Yeah.
Is it a bit small?
Well, you can pinch it out.
You can.
But not if you're looking at his other pet diagram as well.
What, you can look at them both at once?
I should be able to, yeah.
How do you look at them both at once?
Yes, because Tally sent it in the post, so you opened it in the mail, and then put it up. But you minimise both windows.
Okay.
You understand?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. If you're on a laptop on a phone, I don't know how people would do it.
Yeah. I'm not sure. What do you? What can you see now?
I can see you. I can see a line of gallery. I can see the Hebrew text, and I can see the Lubavitcher Rebbe's discourse sheet, which you just sent us.
Oh,
because I've got it side by side.
Oh, right.
As I said, from the email program, you open it, you reduce the size, and then you reduce the size of you on Zoom.
Right.
So therefore, you've got both pieces of paper and you at the same time.
Oh, okay. Hold on.
I feel a bit embarrassed explaining this with Jeremy on the line, but
yeah. But at the moment, he's sharing the Hebrew text.
Yeah.
Momentarily, you're not sharing the diagram of before. So if you would share the diagram and we can open the Hebrew text from the email and then
no, exactly the opposite.
Oh, I see.
He's just sent the diagram by email. So you open the email that is sent to you.
Yeah, you could.
At the same time as he's now put up.
Yeah,
on the...
I forgot about that. Yeah, I did send the Hebrew text with the email yesterday. So, I sent the diagram as an email just now. So if I go on sharing the Hebrew text, and maybe Chesed, you're able to open the diagram.
That's the diagram. Well, let's just stick this down, and you can have both of them open.
Yes, you've got both of them open.
Have you got both of them open, Karen?
I'm gonna open up the second one.
Okay, when the world was created, God ensured that we would be able to learn Hasidic teachings. And so he implanted this possibility.
So we've got one there. Oh, what happened there? Ah, the little text doesn't go small.
Okay, so because we're short of time.
The other one does. Why is that, Jeremy?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we are aiming to finish at 9:30 because I have a grandson having bar mitzvah in Melbourne. And in order to be at the bar mitzvah Wednesday morning in Melbourne with an 11-hour difference, I have to leave here at 9:30. But it's very amazing that we can nonetheless be there in Melbourne at 8:30. Thank you.
Yeah. Now,
okay, so we're not going to have the piece of music. We'll take it as read. Vayiyu chaye Sarah. Now, the life of Sarah was 100 years and 20 years for Sheva Shanim and seven. So that's 127 years. Shnei Chaye Sarah, those are the years of the life of Sarah. Now, and the Rebbe Rashab, the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe, he discussed this verse. And he said, look, at the beginning of the verse, it says, Vayiyu chaye Sarah, the life of Sarah was. So why do we have to say again at the end of the verse, the years of the life of Sarah? You see, the beginning of the verse and the end of the verse says the same thing. So the way it's going to explain that is that it fits in to different parts of the whole spherotic diagram. We're looking at a cosmic, if you look at the diagram, which I'm holding in my hand, we're looking at a kind of a cosmic map of the universe, going right back to before creation and ending up now with this world, the lower worlds. And what we have is that, and the life of Sarah is at a certain point in that diagram, and the years of the life of Sarah is at another point in the diagram. So in other words, the verses, the two parts of the verse have a function within this sort of spherotic map. Now, and it continues from the Zohar. Because in the Zohar, what it does is it quotes another verse from Kohelet. And what it quotes from Kohelet is the verse that we've read already, that the advantage, v'yitchon eretz b'kol hi, the advantage of the land is in everything. Melech l'sadeh ne'evad, the king is subject to the field. In other words, the simple meaning of the verse is that if one has a field, in some sense, one is subject to the field because you worry about the field. So even if you're a king, you still have to worry about how the field is doing and what it needs. Right. So what it says in the Zohar is this is why the fact that Sarah achieved upper life, chayin elayin, an exalted upper life. And it explains how this all relates together. And it explains in the discourse by the Rebbe Rashab, by the fifth Rebbe, and explains that Eretz and Sadeh are two different aspects of kingship. So there's the land. So here we have this diagram again. So you see there is the land. We've got here two aspects of kingship. And the blue one is the field, which is the inner dimension. And the red one is the land, which is the outer dimension. You see, it says in the verse, the advantage of the land, Eretz, is in everything. The king is subject to the field. So they're two different words, basically meaning the same thing, land and field. And so what it explains is that both of these mean malchut, and the idea of this verse is a flow which comes from above, flowing into malchut. And what is the flow that comes from above? There are two aspects to the flow. One is from melech, from the king, and the other is from kol, from the word kol, which means all. So you see, the advantage of the land is in everything. Now, everything is the word kol. Now, kol, everything, is very often an image for the svira yasod. And yasod, foundation, is the svira which connects all the svira to kingship. And it's the expression of a flow down into kingship. And so that is flowing down. And so we have this flow flowing down, because how does all this relate to the verse about Sarah? Because Sarah, she is the image of kingship, the Shekhinah. In fact, just as every woman, every Jewish woman in her home, she expresses the attribute of kingship. She expresses this spiritual dimension of womanhood. And so Sarah does that in a particularly strong way. And that's why Sarah, as the Zohar says, reached this very high radiance of the upper life flowing to her. And that's indicated in these words that Sarah's life was 100 years and 27 years. And these are the years of the life of Sarah. It's really depicting what we have in this diagram, which is this flow coming from the highest level, ultimately the highest level above, and flowing down into the lower worlds where we are below. And this is all flowing down, and we're in the middle of this flow, and we have a crucial role in it, because we are able to keep the mitzvot. So you see that melech, king, which is an aspect of keeping of this flow coming down, and that in which represents the 100 years in the life of Sarah, that is something that we are the ones who are able to do that. We are the ones who are able to keep the mitzvah. The mitzvah are given to us to do. And so therefore, this is a dynamic image of the universe, and we are part of it. Now, just mentioning what I said in the email when I sent out yesterday, that this shir is in the memory of Rabbi Yonatan Tzvi, the chief rabbi, Alav HaShalom, the emeritus chief rabbi who passed away, unfortunately, earlier this week, a very, very special person. And so we're dedicating this year in his memory. Now, so that is the concept that we have two aspects of kingship. There's the land and the field. And there are two aspects of the radiance which flows into kingship, which is kol, everything, and the king. right? So if you look at the diagram, you can see there are two aspects of kingship and two aspects which are flowing into kingship. And then he explains that this is that the that when it says 27 years, that is like the word kol, that's like the word everything. And the 100 years is like the quality of the king. So in other words, when we speak about Sarah, who represents kingship, who represents the divine presence in the home, and we speak about the way her life was 127 years, that is really indicating the way in which flowing into her, there are these two dimensions. There's the 100 years, which comes from one kind of level of radiance, and the 27 years, which is another level of radiance. And that's flowing into her. All right, so we're moving to another page. We're going to go on to section Bet. Now, in section Bet in the discourse, which is on page Vav, line 14, it says we will understand what it explains in the discourse, the difference between land, Eretz, and field, Sadeh. The land means the whole world, really the whole universe. And the field, which is the best of the land, is actually Gan Eden, the Garden of Eden. So we've got two different dimensions, which are both in the created world. But there's the Garden of Eden on the one hand, and there's the physical world on the other. And that's why we have in the diagram, we've got, they're both on the level of kingship. But one is the land, the world, and the other is the field, the Garden of Eden. So one is in red, signifying something more coarse, more earthly, and the other one is in blue, signifying more spiritual. Now, the difference between them is in their root, because the coming into being of the world comes from the external aspect of malchut, of kingship, which is called the world, Eretz, earth. And Gan Eden, the Garden of Eden, comes from the inwardness of kingship, which is called the field. And it continues in the discourse, that means of the fifth Rebbe, to explain that just as the significance of the field in itself is that it's a place we can plant things, we plant seeds in the field and they grow, so it is concerning the Garden of Eden. That is a very appropriate place to bring about a revelation of the radiance of the infinite, which grows there, through sowing in it the mitzvot. Now, that's an interesting concept, that in the Garden of Eden, we sow mitzvot. In other words, the Garden of Eden is like the spiritual dimension of life. And when we carry out the mitzvot in this world, we are feeding in, we are connecting with the spiritual dimension. And when we carry out a mitzvah, it's as if we're growing. We plant the mitzvah in that spiritual dimension of existence, and then it grows, it flourishes. Parallel to that is the earthly side of existence, the physical side of existence, in which we have a field in the world, and in the world we plant things, and that grows. It's physical produce, or we make an effort. We are not necessarily farmers. We do other kinds of work. And we grow produce, we produce things. So there's the physical production of things and the spiritual production of things. And they relate to two different spiritual dimensions of kingship. Now, the discourse reminds us that when it says about Adam and Eve, that God put them in the Garden of Eden, and it says that they were supposed to work and guard on God, the Garden of Eden. The way the sages explained that is about the radiance of the mitzvah that they were supposed to generate in some sense. Unfortunately, they weren't there very long because they made a mistake right at the beginning. But the idea of being in the Garden of Eden is one of making it flourish in spiritual terms. Now, then, once, now on line six of this page, Zion, once they are driven out of the Garden of Eden, then they have been sent out of the Garden of Eden in order to work the land. The Lord God sent him, both of them, out of the Garden of Eden, lavodet adama, in order to serve the land. Now this serving of, working of the land, hu la'asot ha'makom d'olam sheyeh mukhshar l'gilui. That means what they should do in the world. Having come out of the Garden of Eden, they've now come into the ordinary world. So you see, in terms of the diagram, it's as if they've moved from one part of the diagram to the other. The blue part of Malchut is the inwardness of kingship. That's the Garden of Eden. And they move from there to the external part of kingship into the world. And they're coming into the world in order to make the world have the same qualities as the Garden of Eden. What's very interesting about this discourse, as many Hasidic discourses, is the completely positive way it sees this whole situation. Yes, it's true, they sinned and it was a mistake and they're told off and so on. But in total terms, in fact, this is what had to happen. There had to be the step out of the Garden of Eden into the world as a whole, transforming the world. You know, so I suppose one could imagine, you know, what would have happened if they had not sinned in the Garden of Eden? Would there then have been a time when they would have sort of fulfilled their role in the Garden of Eden? They'd have gone out of the Garden of Eden in order to make the rest of the world into the Garden of Eden. But that's, in a sense, what has, that is what is happening. And that's what we are involved in. We, the Jewish people, come out of the land of Israel, out of Jerusalem, which is all in ruins and the temple destroyed and things like that. But we come into the world, and the purpose of our being into the world is to make the world a place where divine revelation can take place. And so therefore this movement from the inwardness of the of kingship, the inwardness of the of the of the 10th attribute, and moving into this external aspect, and then from there ultimately down into the lower worlds, as we'll see in a moment, that is all part of our shlichut. That is what we are here in the world to do. We are here in order to bring spirituality into the world as a whole. Now, so that's why it says in the verse from Kohelet that the advantage of the land is in everything, right? This phrase, the yitron eretz bakolhi, the advantage of the land is in everything, and the king is subject to the field. That the advantage of the land, that means the whole world, which comes from the externality of kingship, is bakol, is with this word everything. And what that means is the kol, this attribute of yesod, of dedication and foundation, which is called kol, that flows down into the realm of kingship and then into the world. So there is a flow coming down, that word kol, the advantage of the land is in everything, that the land, which we're saying is this attribute of kingship, takes in the quality of kol, of this energy which comes from the attribute foundation. And how does this take place? One second. So that is one aspect. But then we have the other part of the verse, that the king is subject to the field. Now that is another dimension. That's the radiance of the infinite, which comes down. It's actually higher than the foundation. As we see in the diagram, that this idea of the king and the infinite radiance coming through keeping mitzvah, and that represents the 100 years, that's on a higher level than this attribute yesod, foundation, which is only 27 years. the 27 years, it flows down, and that comes through the keeping of mitzvah. In other words, there is some sort of dimension which is there in nature in itself, the way that God created it. And that is the flow coming down through coal, through the everything, through the structure of the sphera. And then there is something else. And that something else is provided by us through the fact that we keep the mitzvah. We generate an energy, and that generation of energy is something extremely powerful. And as it says in the Zohar, who is the king? The king, what king does it mean? It means the exalted king who is joined to the field when the field is worked in the right way. That through the fact that we work in the Garden of Eden, and that means we keep the mitzvot, the 248 positive mitzvahs and the 365 negative mitzvahs. We draw down the revelation of the infinite radiance, and that is the upper king, which is higher than the revelation of Kol, the higher than the revelation of the Sphere Yesod. So we have two different levels. We have the level of Kol. That's one level, and we have a higher level of the king. And so that higher level is the level that we can activate. So there's a level which is just there, as it were, without us, seemingly. And there's a level which we activate by our lives, by the details of our lives. So that's presented one stage, if you like, of this process. Now, are there any points that anyone would like to raise so that we can try and see if we understand it? It's a very, very subtle discourse.
By the infinite radiance, you're referring to the Ein Sof.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you see, all of the radiance comes originally from the Ein Sof.
Mm-hmm.
It comes down in different channels.
Okay.
So there's a channel which is more like nature, and there's a channel which is generated through Torah. In fact, we could imagine it. There's a channel of nature, like the ten Sfirot and the world, or all the different worlds, and then finally the lower world. And man doesn't seem very relevant in that particularly. We can gaze at it, we can be inspired by it. But, you know, where are we? What's our function in it? Then there's the other level. There's a parallel level, which is through the Torah. And so there you come also to the world. But now it's a kind of a Torah reality. And what happens in the Torah reality? It's things that we do as individuals. The actions that we do, the speech that we say, studying Torah or praying, the ideas in our mind, the fact that a person has a spiritual teaching in their mind, instead of worrying about the news and who won the American election or something like that, right? There's always a good background to draw away from or to go beyond, and to have something more radiant in one's mind. Now, what it's saying here is that if we have something radiant in our minds, that's going to affect the whole of existence. We then join with the king in our diagram and in the verse, the king, the infinite radiance generated through keeping mitzvot, and that flows down into the inwardness of the Garden of Eden, of the sphere of the attribute kingship, and from there it flows down into the worlds, all the lower worlds, right down into our world here. So we are actually generating something in relation to the world, even though there is seemingly a parallel dimension of existence, which seems to be independent of us. In fact, at the end of the discourse, he makes the point, the whole thing really depends on us. And that's a very striking thought. And I found that very, very striking, learning this discourse today. Mm. That the whole thing, what we think of as nature and the sphera, the mystical, the Kabbalistic dimension of nature. Why is it there? It's there because God wanted to create human beings, and human beings would have free will, unlike everything else in nature. And with that free will, we are able to create a dwelling for God in the lower world. So therefore, all of it, the planet Jupiter, the most distant star, whatever it is, it's all there as part of the project which God has involving you and me, involving us human beings with all our different frailties and different qualities. We are the ones who have the shlichut, the empowerment in order to reveal the divine in the world. And the whole world is there in order for us to reveal the divine in it. So this whole complicated diagram ends up that it really depends on us. The whole thing is in our hands. Any other point from anyone? Okay. Chesed, it's okay? Chesed or Maya? Okay. Yes?
I'm here, sorry. Yes, it's
is it making sense?
It does. The only question comes to me now is you talk about Adam and Eve as the beginning of humanity, and they were sent to the world to make it have as Gan Eden.
Yes.
When, at what stage did the split happen, that there is the rest of the world and there is the Jews?
Well, you could say that really came about, you see, you've got, on one level, you've got it in the next generation with Cain and Abel. With Cain, Abel is the one who does something and God recognizes it. And Cain gets jealous and kills him. But then that all disappears into the flood. And what we have after the flood is just Noah and his children. So when there's Noah and his children, then you have the three different sons of Noah. So one of them is Shem. And so from Shem eventually comes Abraham. And what happens in between is that the rest of the world forgets about the oneness of God. So it could have been, we could imagine the story that Noah came out of the ark, and everything was good, and all his three sons recognized this is very spiritual and holy, and we've got to behave in the right way and do things in the right way. And then it would have been a world where everyone, in a sense, was carrying out that Jewish task, that task of unifying the world and connecting it with God. But what went wrong is that the world began serving idols. And so when it began serving idols, They forget their whole mission. They forget the whole point of why they're there. And then comes Abraham. And Abraham recognizes God uniquely and begins gathering people around him and telling them about monotheism. And then God tells Abraham, you know what? Your children are going to be a great people, and your children, the Jewish people, they will communicate monotheism to the world. And they will be the ones who will connect with the divine in a very special way, and they'll help everyone else connect with the divine. So that's really where you get the split. It's in between Noah and Abraham.
Thank you. But does it mean that those who are non-Jewish are not able to create this connection?
Well, they are part of the whole story because they keep the seven Noahide laws. So by keeping the seven Noahide laws, they are also helping to make the world into the way the world is supposed to be. But in the middle, at the heart of the world, is the Jewish people. Now, it's comparable to the temple. You have the Jewish people in the land of Israel, you have the temple in Jerusalem. So someone wants to bring some kind of offering to the temple, So they go along, and there are the priests, the Kohanim, the mm-hmm. priests in the temple. So they want, so someone, let's say a woman has got married, thank God she's had a baby, and because she's had a baby, she's going to bring an offering. That was a very common kind of offering. So she brings an offering to the temple. It's the priest who actually brings the offering inside. She doesn't go right up to the altar. No one, not a woman nor a man. They don't go up to the altar. It's the priest who sorts that out. So the Jewish mm-hmm. people are like the priests for the world. So there's the world as a whole, and then the Jewish people who are connecting the world to God and like a priest.
Thank you. It's a beautiful explanation. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, so now let's go back to the Hebrew text, to section Gimel, which is on page Zion, page 7. Right. So the explanation, I just want to get that on my page. Right. The explanation of these three levels, namely, kingship, the way it is in itself. And then there's the flow from the level kol, which means everything, which means foundation. And then there's the flow of the revelation, which comes from the king, the upper king, through keeping the mitzvot. So that's really like three different dimensions of kingship. Is the whole idea, the difference between foundation and kingship is that kingship itself is the root of everything that's created after that, like lower down. And therefore kingship is called speech. You see, speech relates to the concept of kingship. And just as speech is for the sake of another person, that when we speak, it's for someone else, as well as the fact that when we speak, the other person can hear it. And it goes out from the person who's speaking and it goes to the other person. Also, the power of speech itself is so that we can communicate. It's that we're communicating with someone else. Now, similarly with kingship, malchut, that even when kingship is in the world of Atzilut, in the world of emanation, a very exalted level, before the life force flows down to the created realms below, nonetheless, at that point, kingship is still the root of everything that's going to be created. Whereas Yesod, the aspect foundation, is, as it were, the finality of the world of Atzilut. And that is like the emotions in a person. Now, you see, this Yesod, this foundation, is the point where people connect together. Now, that point where we connect together in normal terms is the emotional part of a person. A person has emotions within them, and we empathize with other people. And it's that empathy which joins us together with other people. So that is the quality of your soul, of foundation. On that level, there's another aspect of Yesod in sort of physical terms. The union between husband and wife takes place at the point of Yesod, the point of foundation. But here we're speaking about it, the discourse is speaking about it in more general terms, that the way we relate to anyone else is through empathy, it's through feeling. And that is the quality of Yesod. So now that is like, even though it relates to the other person, it's also something within us. The fact that we have a possibility of empathy is not totally dependent on the other person. We develop a sense of empathy inside ourselves. We develop a sense of kindness inside ourselves. And that is something we may not have the opportunity to express, that kindness, but nonetheless, it's something which is happening and which is growing and which is being nurtured inside an individual himself or herself. And that's what it means, that there is an extra dimension of the earth, of the land, the advantage of the land. How do we express that? One second. The advantage right? The advantage of the land is through the attribute of yesod, through the quality of foundation, that the extra dimension, that earth, which means kingship, the root of all creation, is that kol, the yesod, the foundation, flows into it. So in other words, the way in which kingship operates in bringing into existence the rest of the universe is through this flow from foundation, and that flow from foundation is something that's very intimate. And so in the diagram, we have the way in which there is the sphera yesod, foundation, and it flows down into the inwardness of kingship here in this diagram. And I'm not quite sure if it should have been the inwardness or the external aspect or both. Could be that it shouldn't be quite. So it could be that it's both or either. I'm not sure which. But there we have that extra dimension which flows into kingship coming from yesod, coming from foundation. So in other words, that's something, there's some way in which we work on ourselves in order, in very simple terms, to become a nicer person. And then if there's another person there we can be nice to, so then we're nice to them. But we still have to work on ourselves to be a nicer person. Imagine a person stuck on a desert island. Right, so first of all, they thank God that they were saved, that their life's been saved, that they survived, whatever it was, a shipwreck. Here they are on the desert island. But they pray to God. And part of praying to God is a process of dealing with oneself in relation to the divine and in relation to everything else. Now, if this person is going to be a grumpy, angry person, what a terrible thing, I should never have gone on that cruise. What a horrible person who suggested I should go on that cruise. You know, and they're spending their time on this desert island, you know, filled with hatred and regrets and anger. Well, what a shame. Because really, it could be a beautiful opportunity. All right, your life's been saved. True, you're in a very difficult position, but you are here and you're able to survive. You found trees with coconuts and other good things, and so here you are living. So use it in a positive way. Pray to God and don't feel nasty thoughts. Try and feel positive thoughts. So the emotions inside us are part of our own inner framework. Now, so one could suggest, now we come to the second part of this paragraph, beginning on line 15, on this page, I think it's page 8. Yeah, line 15. Now, one can suggest, says the Rebbe in this discourse, that the flow, the fact that the flow is called the advantage of the earth, even though, in fact, kingship receives all the time from the emotions, from Zer Ampin. Now, if on your diagram, you'll see another bit that is called Zer Ampin. Now, I should really have written there the emotions. Let's just see. Because the flow from Zer Ampin, now Zer Ampin means the sixth sphera. It's the Hebrew, it's Aramaic. It means the small face, the small visage. And it means the sphera, kindness, severity, mercy, victory, submission, and dedication. Those six sphera. So the flow that comes down those six sphera into kingship is generally in such a way that when that flow comes into kingship, it is something which changes the flow that goes into kingship changes from its original point. So rather a subtle thing that I didn't actually manage to put on the diagram at all. When the flow comes down from Zer Ampin into kingship, the flow here down below is not the same as it was above. The flow below is not the same as above. It's sort of been changed. It's been filtered, it's been reduced, it's been contracted, it's been changed in some way. And it comes down and it hasn't got the same purity. It hasn't got the same innocence, if you like. Whereas the flow which comes down through the attribute foundation retains its connection to the essence. And that's a subtle concept. In the intimacy between husband and wife, the point of that intimacy is seen as something which comes from the mind. It's something from the mind that flows through the person into that point of unity, and then they're unified together. So it's something which is, it's some very, very exalted level which is being translated into their unity together, through which, of course, a child may be born. So that is something greater than the simple level of emotion. Emotion is something a person could have a beautiful emotion in their heart, and then they try to express the emotion to someone else. It's not quite the same. It's translated into something else, and it's, in a sense, it's a shadow of what the emotion is in the heart. You know, so we come back to the man on the desert island. While he's on the desert island, he might be a very cultivated person, have very beautiful spiritual emotions in his heart, and he writes lovely poetry that when he gets rescued, he shows them what he's written. And it's all wonderful. Maybe later he publishes it. But when he's actually in the real world dealing with real people, then it's not so easy at all. And he can't translate those emotions so easily into relationships with real people, real men and real women. They're much more complicated. It was much better when he was there with a few pigeons and chickens and stuff like that.
Can I just ask a quick question? Isn't foundation and Yesod, isn't that part of Zer Ampin?
You're right.
So doesn't it have to go through all of Zer Ampin and Yesod anyway?
You're absolutely right. And the way this discourse presents it is as if you can have, which is unusual, and you're 100% right. It's as if you can have a flow from Zer Ampin into kingship without it going properly through Yesod. Or you can have the flow through Yesod, through foundation. And when it comes through foundation, it's got a completely different level. And I would compare that to the difference between emotional speech and the real bond of intimacy. So emotional speech can have a very powerful quality, but the real bond is something else. The real bond can create a baby. It's on a different level. So that's how I would, your question's very good, but that's how I would see this. Now all this flow from Yesod, from foundation into kingship, we're now looking at section 4 on page 9, is all about the external aspect of kingship, the speech which is in kingship. And that's the aspect by which kingship is the root of everything created. But when we're talking about the inwardness of kingship, then on the contrary, the whole point of the inwardness of kingship is that it receives right. So I think in this diagram that if we, we should have been that from the Yesod, well, in fact, that was how I originally had it. From the Sphira or Zer Ampin, it flows into the external aspect of kingship. And from the Sphira Yesod, It flows into the inwardness of kingship. And that's the difference between them. So the sphirot, the emotion, the emotional relationship goes into the external dimension, but the foundation relationship is foundational and goes into the inward dimension. Now, so it explains in the discourse that this is on section A. It explains in the discourse that the fact that Yesod is called Kol, the fact that the foundation is called Kol, everything. Now, Kol is Kaf, which is 20, and Lamed is 30. It's because of the 50 gates of understanding which flow through the foundation. And from this, we can see that the extra quality of the earth, that means kingship, about Kol is in two aspects. One is it that it gets this quality of foundation, which comes from above, and also that through this, there are the 50 gates of understanding, which is the mind, which is higher than the emotion. You see, when we spoke about Ze'anpin, we spoke about emotion. But when we speak about Yesod, it's relating back to the mind, right? Remember the biological, the Kabbalistic biology, that from the intimacy between husband and wife, something is drawn from the mind down into the wife, from the husband into the wife, from the mind. And so it's the mind. Now, the mind is the 50 gates of understanding. So that is a very, very, very powerful dimension. And these two, right, 1 second. So this flow from the mind. Now the mind is an interesting thing because we said that when it flows through foundation, it's not watered down in order to be given over to the other person. It comes down as it really is, or into kingship. It comes down as it really is, going right back to the source. And what the Rebbe explains here is that because it's coming from the mind, now the mind, in a sense, is more independent than the emotions from any other person. Because a mind, you can just think to yourself. The Rebbe himself actually spoke about, you know, the idea of being alone in his room and just thinking and studying, away from everyone, as it were. That's a perfectly possible thing. Once you have emotion, okay, you can say that if a person feels an emotion of kindness, so they want to express the kindness. It's, you know, they could be a kind person on a desert island, but that person is pretty lonely. And if he meets another person, he can be kind to them. That's much more fulfilling. But if you have someone who's on a desert island and he's got his, somehow he's managed to salvage some notebooks and some pencils and he's writing a novel, he's very happy writing the novel. He might be. He might be even more lonely. But anyway, so there we have the idea of the mind. And so from that, we come to what is altogether beyond. We go up to higher and higher levels, and we go up to the radiance of the infinite. Now, at the level of the radiance of the infinite, we there have two different types of radiance, which are there. So there is, and here we're looking at section Zion, section 7 on page 12. So we have a radiance, which is Or HaGvul, a radiance which is limited, radiance with limits. You see that at the top of the diagram. And radiance without limits. Now, the point is that what goes down, what is red, the radiance with limits, actually goes the Sfirot Ze'anpin. That could have been a red line. So that goes down into the Sfirot and comes down into the external aspect of kingship and down into the world, like the externality of the world. But there is a radiance without limits, and that radiance without limits flows down through this melech, this king, which is an infinite radiance through keeping Torah mitzvot. so that we actually reach up to that higher, totally transcendent level through keeping Torah mitzvot, and we trigger off the relationship with the radiance without any kind of limits. And so really that is the kind of an explosion of radiance which comes down through the whole system, just through the fact, let's say here, we're a group of people by divine providence in different places, and we are here studying some Torah together, there's a tremendous spiritual reverberation taking place because of that. And that's the amazing teaching here. Whatever mitzvah we're doing, or an individual is doing, they're doing something which reverberates all the way through the spiritual cosmos, right back to the radiance without limits. So that's the difference between nature on the one hand and Torah on the other, that there is this whole chain of Torah which goes higher and higher and higher, and flowing down into the world through our arousal of that radiance. So we've got the flow which would seemingly take place anyway, and we've got the flow which depends on our mitzvah which we spark off. And then just to complete the picture, he goes a step further and he says, you know what, as I mentioned earlier, that the, so this is in section Chet, which is on page, sorry, I think it's on page Yudalid, page 14, I think.
Can I just ask a question? Aren't there three flows, in fact, if we look at the diagram, it's through Ze'amp and through Yesod and through and straight from the Ein Sof.
Sorry, what's your question?
Aren't there three flows? There's through Ze'amkin, through Yesod, and through and straight from the Ein Sof.
Yeah, you could say that. Yeah. You see, you got the king. The king, that comes from the radiance without limits. That's what's triggered off. And then you've got your sod, which is like a middle dimension, and then you've got the external aspect.
Okay.
So you're right. There are like three channels. I think you're right there.
So if nature is the one through the Ampin natural way, then what's through Yesod?
I think these are two different dimensions of our connection, spiritual connection with the divine. I think that the answer to that is there's a sense in which our souls in themselves create a certain level of connection. And when we do a mitzvah, and in some discourses, not in this one, but it talks about different kinds of mitzvot, like it might be a mitzvah that's very difficult to carry out, like a mitzvah with self-sacrifice, we go to a further transcendent level. So Yesod is the first step, foundation, and then there's higher and higher. It's all linked to the age of Sarah, 127 years. So the 27 is one step, but the 100 is something even higher. And it's all on that line of relating to God in a more profound way. So there's nature, and then the individual Jewish relationship with God. Maybe that's the answer to your question, through the soul or through the actual carrying out of mitzvah. And so now on section Chet, on page 13, since the creation is in order that there should be people who are keeping Torah, that's the whole point of creation. Otherwise, there could have just been a realm of angels. But why is there this physical realm? The point of the physical realm is in order to come down that there should be human beings with all their limitations in the world, but they will be able to keep the Torah. So that means that the purpose is not only that the world should be created in order that there should be people keeping Torah. All the greatest revelations, all the greatest spiritual dimensions, going back to the very highest level, it is all in order that a person should be able to keep the Torah and connect with the divine. and express the divine here in this world. And that's what it means, that the king is subject to the field. So that's on the next page, that the king is subject to the field, because what it means of dwelling in the lower world is that the divine revelation, which is drawn down into the lower world, it should be because of the lower world itself. That means we don't withdraw from the world, we're in the world. And that's the reason why the revelation through the mitzvah is in the very place where we do it, in our home, in the street, wherever it is. And so that's why the Garden of Eden is called a field, because a field is something where you can sow the mitzvot and let the mitzvot grow. And similarly, in the place of the whole generality of the world, that God sends us out of the Garden of Eden, as it were, into the world, in order to make the world into a place which is a dwelling for the divine. And that's really what we are seeking to express. And that's what it means that the years of Sarah were 127 years. And so it's that means the mind, that's the 100 and the 27. It's the emotion, all in the way of kol coming through Yesod. And this connection comes down, flowing into the world, in order to bring that wholeness into the world. And as the sages say about Sarah's life, that all of those different years were good in every way. And it ends up in the verse, it speaks about Kiryat Arba hi Chevron, that she was buried in Chevron. And after flowing down that 100 years into all the lower levels of world, creation, formation, and action, it comes down into the physical body, which is Chevron, which is made up of Kiryat Arba. The four means the four elements, which make up the physical body. And through this, there is an extra bond between the soul of the body in good health with Torah and mitzvot, Hasidic years, and in such a way that we go without limit to the highest and highest spiritual levels, going towards Mashiach Tzidkenu in a tremendously joyful way. All right, well, that's an attempt to encapsulate this very, very subtle discourse, but a very, very beautiful discourse, enabling us to have a perspective on the whole of existence seen in the most broad characteristics. Okay, thank you very much for joining. And
thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes, Tali, thank you very much.
Thank you very much indeed. Be well. I hope we'll see each other next week as well. Yeah. Okay.